Possibly. Good morning. How are you? Good? Good. That's good. Yes, well, there were none of us that were good, because there is none good. God is making us good, isn't He? Yeah, so we don't have to languish in a bad state, but we can be in an ever-improving state. I'll mention something about that in a couple of minutes this morning in our meditation around the table. I wonder if we could open our meeting in prayer this morning as we begin to come to our Lord's ordained remembrance for Himself. Our Father in heaven, I ask that this morning's meeting will not be just a rote or ritual performance, but, O God, that it will be a service of worship from the heart, that it will be done in spirit and in truth in each heart. I pray that it will be spiritually beneficial and profitable not only for me and for everyone who is under the sound of these words, each individual, that it will not be just profitable for some of us and pass others of us by as if it's another hour gone into the history books. And Lord, we come before You to worship by giving attention to the reading of Your Word and singing and spending a moment of quiet before we hear the Word of God and then partaking of the elements of the table. We pray for those that are still on their way this morning that You'll bring them to join us, for the church should be gathered for an event such as this. We'll give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. To begin our service, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17, to remind us to take care at the table of the Lord. And then we'll have a couple of songs this morning, a little quiet time for reflection, and then a message from the Word briefly today. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and in part I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come." May God bless the reading of His Word to us this morning. Let's take our hymnals and turn to hymn number 122. I wonder if we could have an assist on the piano. Thank you, Michelle. And then we will turn over to 129 as well. This song, we often sing at Christmas time, but it has a lot of words and truth in it that relates to the Lord's table as well. Hymn number 122. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm just going to invite you to join me in a few moments of quiet as we reflect before the message, and then the elements of the table are shared with us. So let's do that and offer prayer and thanks and confession, whatever is on your heart between you and the Lord. He's able to hear all our prayers, answer them simultaneously without any expended effort that tires Him. And so let us pray and do that this morning, just for a couple of minutes. Thank the Lord for hearing the prayer of faith of His people. Our text this morning, which we can at this moment only treat very briefly, is in Romans chapter 8. Verse number 32. If I don't get to say everything I want to say in the next 10 minutes, then I'll say it in the morning service when I have more time. So we'll be looking at 31 through 34 in a larger context later this morning. In 8:32, though, the Apostle Paul says these words, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all." He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. I want you to think about the case of Abraham and the offering of his son Isaac just for a moment as you think about those words, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all." He, Abraham, that is, almost offered his son. We could say he did, but he didn't quite have to follow through with the last step, which was the stroke of the knife to take this life from his son and actually offer him as a burnt offering up to God. He did not, in the end, kill the boy, but instead found a substitute ram as an offering. God provided himself that ram, that animal sacrifice, to stand in the place of Isaac. That is a picture, of course, of our Lord's offering of himself and God's offering of his son, not sparing him but delivering him over on our behalf. There was no substitute for the Son of God. There was a substitute for the son of Abraham, the ram caught in the thicket, but there was no substitute for the Son of God. Christ is the end of the line for substitutes. That is, somebody might substitute for somebody else, and a ram might substitute for someone, but when it comes to ultimately dealing with the sin problem, there is no recourse for Christ other than for Him to have gone through with the punishment for sin that we deserved. That is, if He were to provide us salvation, which He graciously decided to do. Graciously decided to do. Think of those two words for a moment, to spare and to deliver. To spare someone means to save them from or keep them from discomfort or loss. Let me read a couple of verses that have that same idea in them just to help you understand what we're talking about. The Apostle Paul, writing about the benefits of staying single during the time that he was writing, he says, "Even if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you." So when there's a great time of distress, then it's often easier to take care of yourself than to have to worry about taking care of yourself and a spouse. But he wanted to spare them from that trouble, to save them from the loss or discomfort of that thing. Back in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 29, the Scripture says these words. Paul is speaking to the Ephesian elders. He says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Don't think that when false teachers come in that they're going to be nicey-nice. They're not going to save you from discomfort and loss. They are going to cause you to incur discomfort or loss. Romans 11:21, God did not spare the natural branches. He did not save them from the loss that they experienced in being cut off. And then finally in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 4, it says, "God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." God did not save them from loss or discomfort, did He? No, He did not. And neither did He keep His Son from loss or discomfort. Loss in the incarnation, temporary though it was still a loss of glory, of comfort. Loss in life that was subject to temptation and trials and physical deprivation, sleeplessness, hunger, thirst, temptations in the wilderness. Loss in death, physical comfort lost, life was lost. Not to mention, may I, the loss of fellowship with God upon the cross as He hung there between heaven and earth to bring us to Himself. God did not spare His Son those discomforts. And thankfully, Christ said, "Not my will, not my comfort, but Thine be done." God did not spare His own Son. But, it says, He delivered them up. He delivered Him up for us all. Delivered Him up. Handed over is the word. When you deliver something over, it's like you turn loose of something that you have a strong personal interest in. You know, an elderly person has to sometimes hand over the keys to the car. Hand over. Hopefully you will never have to hand over your child to a kidnapper. How awful that would be and traumatic. But God handed over, delivered His Son. Didn't spare Him, but delivered Him over to the torturers and to the murderers who would kill Him because of their envy and their hatred for God. Now the text also says, let that sink in, by the way. He delivered him over to that kind of treatment. His beloved son, his own son. Not one of us sons of God by faith in Christ, but his own son, his special son, the divine son. Not spared, delivered, and finally, it says, for us all. Huper, for, on behalf of, for our benefit, and all of us who are believers. We're talking in this passage to people who are those who love God, who are called according to His purpose, who are saved people, chosen, elect, called, justified, predestined, glorified, all of those things. I note the text doesn't limit God's provision of His Son to us, just us who are believers. It also applies in some ways, wonderful ways, to unbelievers. We'll get into that more another time again. But He did not spare, and He delivered for us all, for our benefit. And that's what we remember this morning at the Lord's table, that as we partake of the elements, the bread and the cup, the bread was not spared, the body was not spared, but delivered. The blood was not spared, but it was delivered. And the bread and the cup were for us. So get that. Spared, delivered, for us. Those three key ideas in verse 32 of Romans chapter 8. Let us pray as we then approach the table. Father, this is a holy time of worship, holy in the sense that it's set apart for You, and holy, I trust, in that our hearts are set apart unto You, and that we are not coming with unclean hands or unclean hearts, but that we can indeed lift up our hands and hearts before You in prayer and know that You have washed them clean by the blood of Christ. Father, as we come to the table, I want to just say in general terms, thank You so much for sparing not Your Son, for not making us be in His place to take that punishment, but for Him to be in our place to take our punishment. And then for delivering Him over to those who hated Him, to those who pulled out the hair of His face and beat Him and smote His body, blindfolded Him and mocked Him and finally hung Him upon a cross. And that was all done on our behalf. Thank You so much. Thank You for providing eternal life, providing the pathway of life for all who will believe. Now as we partake of the elements, pray that You help the men as they distribute them, and each one of us. Perhaps someone here, Lord, is unsure if they should participate. Help them to know a yes or a no on that question. Help them to examine themselves and partake of the bread and the cup in a worthy manner. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on in, guys. I guess it is guys, too, besides Mrs. Banks. Glad to have our young people join us for the commemoration of the Lord's table. I'm going to ask the gentlemen if they'll come forward now and help us distribute the elements of the table. The ordinances of the Lord's church, too, in name, baptism and communion or the Lord's table, should be carried out in the midst of the church when it is gathered together. These are public ordinances, so we want, if we can, have everybody here and join us and participate so that we don't kind of do it in little parties and factions and all that sort of thing. This really represents our partaking together of the benefits of the body and blood of Christ, and that we have that fellowship together and share in a common life. In addition to the individual aspect of it, which we often focus upon, you know, my relationship to God or your relationship to God. That's important as well. So as we partake, I'm going to ask Brother James if he will give thanks for the bread, please.
Heavenly Father, we pause now again to say thank you, Lord, for providing for us through the Lord Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection. We found life to those who would put their trust in Him. And now we are here to do what we have been commanded, to remember Him, who was our substitute in the manner appointed, that we should partake of these elements, and in that way bring glory to God. So we ask you to help each one of us to examine ourselves carefully, so that we will not partake improperly or lightly of these elements.
As the men distribute the bread, which is an unleavened bread, for reasons obvious to those of us who are in the Bible much, I just want to remind you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're part of the family of God, you may partake of these elements. If there's something that's not right in your walk with the Lord, then you need to take heed and caution. If you're not sure that you are a follower of Christ, please don't partake of the elements this morning. We will take and hold on to them so we can all participate together. Eating of this bread is a symbol of the fact that we have already believed, eaten, if you will, and gotten the benefits of the cross work of Jesus Christ. It's not by this means that we are saved, but rather it's a symbol of a pre-existing reality that we have been saved. So in that same night in which our Lord was betrayed, it says He took bread and broke it, gave it to the disciples, and He told them to take and eat it in remembrance of Him. Let us do that together. Our Lord also, as part of that meal, took the cup after supper and said that this is, or obviously He meant represents, His blood, the blood of the new covenant, that statement loaded with significance for the disciples as they saw that he was giving himself to inaugurate, if you will, to form the basis of the new covenant. And so that represented his life, which he was pouring out in his blood for the remission of our sins. He said to drink all of it in remembrance of him. Let us do so today. Couple of verses of 186. We'll sing the first and the last, verses 1 and 5. And can it be? 186. Why don't we all stand? We thank you for allowing us to sing, to partake of the table, hear the word of God. Thank you for sparing not and for delivering for us all your Son who died on Calvary's cruel tree. Thank you for each and everyone who's here this morning. May you add to our numbers as we come to the next service, and may we enjoy great worship, humble service to you, our great God and King and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.